Before I get into the sermon, I've been asked several times why I always ask for amens when I'm preaching, so I just figured I'd explain that real quick. So why do we say amen during the sermon? Well, number one, when we say amen, we're giving agreement to the word. Amen means so be it, or it is true. So by saying amen, we affirm the truth of what's being preached. Number two, it's participation and not just listening. A sermon is not a one-way speech. And saying amen shows that we're active participants in worship because the preaching is worship. Amen? Amen. And then number three is encouragement to your pastor. It strengthens the preacher and it shows God's word is being received with faith. You want to see me get really active behind the pulpit? Say amen, hallelujah, preach it, clap your hands. If you don't, if you want it to be flat, don't say anything. Number four, we have biblical example to say amen. God's people often responded with amen, and we see this in passages like Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And then finally, amen is also important when we see Jesus or God say amen. Because when God or Jesus says amen, it is not an agreement, but it is a guarantee. Because God's promises are certain and unchanging, it is so wonderful when we see Jesus say amen. And we see this throughout the New Testament. And of course, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 calls Jesus the amen. So are we ready to get into the sermon this morning? The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus is Our Hope. Our world is seemingly without hope. We turn on the nightly news and there seems to be no good news to be heard. There are wars, there are rumors of wars, there's social unrest, there's turmoil, and church, we still have hope, amen?
Amen.
It's not a time for fear, it's a time for faith. And so we cannot allow the endless stream of bad news to drown out the good news. And we must remember that the good news is not just a set of religious teachings. It is the living message of a risen Savior who has conquered death, sin, and the grave. The bad news will always try to drown out the voice of God. And in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And then the psalmist, he reminds us in Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance."
Amen.
This call for our souls to rise above discouragement and remember where our help comes from. In moments of despair, the psalmist, he invites us to place our hope firmly in God's steadfast love and presence, trusting that His help will come in due time. Amen? Here's the truth, church. The voices of fear may be loud, but the promises of God are louder still. Isaiah 41:10 tells us this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Somebody get excited. Think about the first century church. And those early disciples, and all that they went through to spread the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. To begin with, their hope was dashed at Calvary, only to be restored 3 days later. We can only imagine the shock and grief those disciples felt at the crucifixion of Jesus. Their hope seemed lost. But then on that third day, the tomb was empty. And their hope was resurrected with Jesus Himself. Oh, hallelujah. Then armed with the Great Commission, they went forward and they proclaimed the gospel. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The promise of power was not just for them, but it was all for us as well. The Holy Spirit still empowers every believer to be a witness, a light in the darkness. And this world could use some light, amen? But we know this first century church, they faced hostile persecution, and many paid the price for their faith. From the stoning of Stephen to the crucifixion of Peter, the beheading of Paul, the early church suffered. But even through the sadistic games at the hand of Nero, the early church somehow not only survived, but it also thrived. Their hope was not based on earthly circumstances or human strength. It was based and is based on the living God who promised to be with them always, even to the end of the age. And Satan, his attempts to destroy the church only helped spread the gospel to the places those first disciples wouldn't have normally traveled to. In fact, God used the flames of persecution to grow his church. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And all things mean good things and bad things, the convenient things and the inconvenient things, the fun things and the not so fun things. But God, he is always working behind the scenes, using everything for the good of those who love him. Amen?
Amen.
And this is a profound encouragement to us today. Even when life seems unfair or painful, God is still in control, weaving all things into his perfect plan. And as Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 24 remind us, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him." And so, like those first century Christians, Jesus is our hope. Amen?
Amen.
But what is hope? Well, hope is defined as to wish for something with an expectation of its fulfillment. Hope is the theological virtue defined as the desire to search for a future good which is difficult but not impossible to attain with God's help. Therefore, without hope, we have nothing. Without hope, we have no means of surviving life's trials and tribulations. Without hope, we would give up when the going gets tough. Without hope, the church would just give in when the world says, go away and leave us alone. So we have to be honest with ourselves. Are we living like people who truly believe in the promises of God, or are we walking around like the helpless and the hopeless? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." The writer of Hebrews reminds us here that our hope is not wishful thinking, but it is firmly grounded on the faithfulness of God's promises. And if God said it, you can believe that he will do it. Amen? As adopted children of God, we have hope, and that hope enables us to overcome. And this hope isn't fragile, because as Proverbs 23:18 declares, "For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, as Christians, our hope is to live a life fully surrendered to Jesus, demonstrated through serving him and serving others. And our hope is to proclaim the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, so that in the end, that we get to spend eternity in comfort and peace of our heavenly mansions with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But while we're here, the Bible teaches us that there will be suffering before glory. But it also teaches us to rejoice in our troubles, Because nobody said that taking up your cross and following Jesus would be easy, just rewarding. And James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 tell us, my brethren, count it all joy. You get that? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the process of spiritual maturity comes through trials. Amen?
Amen?
Like refining gold, suffering purifies our faith and builds character. It's hard, but it's purposeful. And as Christians, we have great hope. And our hope is not just some pie-in-the-sky wish list. Our hope is founded in the promises that we find in the Word of God. And those promises begin with our justification. So this morning, we're going to explore Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, now is the time to open them and turn them to Romans chapter 5. Shout out amen when you get there.
Amen.
Yeah, got a scattering. All right. So Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You see, when all else fails, it is our faith that will see us through. Our faith will see us through the hard times. For you see, sin has come between us and God. And as long as we remain in a sinful, fallen state, we have no hope. Because a holy and righteous God, He cannot be at peace with a sinner. If he or she continues to live under the guilt of sin, but justification, well, takes away the guilt. And justification gives us our hope. In other words, being justified releases us from our sin and makes a way for us to have peace with our Heavenly Father. And such is the goodwill of God toward men, that immediately upon removing the sin obstacle, and this happens when we confess our sins and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then our peace with God is restored. Therefore, we have been justified. That is, to be made as if our sins never existed through our Lord Jesus. So this is the glorious hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that we are no longer at war with a holy and righteous God. Amen?
Amen?
And this hope only comes through faith. And faith is the bridge that carries us from fear to hope. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And because our hope is grounded in this kind of faith, it does not remain a vague feeling. It becomes a confident access into the very presence of God. Back to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is our hope. That not only do we have peace with God, but we have already received God's gift of grace. You see, you cannot earn grace, and you cannot purchase grace. Grace is a gift freely given by God when we place our trust in His Son. And because we have done that, well, we have now been granted access to the throne room of God. We're able to take our prayers directly to the foot of God's throne each and every day. We've been brought out of our natural sinful state and into a state of grace. But we have not achieved the state of grace on our own. We've been led there by the nail-pierced hands. Amen? And once we step into the presence of Almighty God, we will be introduced as pardoned offenders, introduced to the Father by the Son. And at our introduction, we will be standing, and that's a posture that denotes our freedom from guilt. We will stand in judgment, but our dignity and our honor will be secured. We will not be cast into the darkness as the hopeless and the unrighteous. Psalm chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." But we, those of us in Christ, we rejoice in hope, standing in the presence of the glory of God. There is happiness in this glorious hope. It is the duty for those who hope for heaven to rejoice in that hope, even now, right here, today. Have we done that today? Have we rejoiced in the hope that we have? Or did we simply go through the motions? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So this is not a future joy, it is a present reality. But church, do we live that way? Do we live like we have joy each and every day? Do we rejoice in the hope that we have? Sadly, for most of us, we don't. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Our hope is not fragile or easily shaken. It is the kind of hope that remains steady even when life pushes back against us. And this is why Paul can say with confidence in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Faith, hope, and love all combine to give the believer perseverance in the trials of life. Perseverance makes it possible for the believer to grow in character and to become a mature child of God. One would think that after attaining such peace, grace, glory, and joy, that our troubles would be over. But that is not what Jesus told us would happen when we commit to following Him. Because in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world you will all have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Somebody get excited. Jesus, the one that we serve, has overcome the world. And why don't we live that way? Why has the American church become so anemic? We serve a risen Savior who has overcome the world. We have hope, and the world doesn't. I know that no matter what happens to me, if I step out and get hit by a truck in the front parking lot of First Baptist Church, Norfolk, Nebraska, I know where I'm going to be. I am going to be in the presence of my Savior when I'm ready. There is nothing this side of glory that keeps me here. Church, I love biblical absolutes, such as, "They who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But in this verse in John chapter 16, verse 33, we have a negative absolute. It says, "In this world you shall have," not might have or could have, "but that you will have tribulation." But then Jesus tells us, "Don't worry, I am still in control." And John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 echoes this victory. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So here's our challenge. If Jesus has already overcome the world, why are we still living like he hasn't? So therefore, God wants us to have more hope and to be stronger in our faith and to trust him in all things. And also, Paul also says that we are to glory in tribulation. And there are many different types of tribulation that we're going to encounter. Christians around the world to this day face persecution and even death for their faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, check out Voice of the Martyrs. Every day, some Christian loses their life for their faith. How fortunate are we to live in a country where we don't face that kind of persecution? The evangelical church is persecuted by other so-called Christian religions because we dare preach the whole gospel. Because we believe that God, he still speaks today and that he hasn't changed his message. Amen?
Amen?
Because we still believe that the Bible is relevant in today's culture. We have trials and tribulations in our churches. Church, I always get a little nervous when things are going too well in a church. When we're winning souls for Christ and the body of Christ is growing spiritually, we have to beware because Satan, he tends to get upset and sneak in one of his minions to start conflict. We have personal trials and tribulations as we seek to proclaim the gospel in the personal lives of others. Some of us, we have been criticized and shunned by neighbors, families, and friends, and when we display our true love for Christ by sharing the gospel message. And to all these things, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 13, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Again, we are to rejoice in suffering because we have a joyful hope. We are to rejoice because Christ's glory shall be revealed to us. Rejoice because steel is hardened by fire and gold is purified by fire. And our hope is increased and our faith is strengthened when we come through the fires of tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 reminds us, "Yes, and all," get that, "and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And Peter, he had firsthand knowledge of this. He had been jailed and beaten because of preaching in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. "And they agreed with him. And when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Oh, what an honor to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
The Sanhedrin council, they had decided to beat the apostles. So Peter and John, they were given 39 lashes with a whip, and they were commanded to stop speaking in the name of Jesus Christ, or something else worse would happen to them. But I want you to notice how the apostles reacted to this illegal treatment from these religious leaders. They rejoiced. Jesus, he had told them to expect persecution, and he had instructed them to rejoice in it. And the fierce opposition of men meant that they had the full approval of God. Therefore, it was and it is a privilege to suffer for his name. However, neither the threats nor the beatings could or would stop them from witnessing for Jesus Christ. If anything, the persecution only made them trust God more and to seek greater power in their ministry. You see, true believers, they're not quitters. The apostles had a commission to fulfill, and they intended to continue as long as their Lord enabled them to. To Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The hope we have in Jesus removes the shame of our sufferings. And this hope, it will not disappoint us because it is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it is the gracious work of the Holy Spirit that fills our hearts with the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
And God's love, it will cause us not to be ashamed, neither of our hope in Him nor our sufferings for Him. And here's why. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, hallelujah. When Christ, He died for us, we were without strength. We were living in a sad and sinful condition. We were unable to help ourselves. But in due time, Jesus, He died for the ungodly. He died for the unrighteous sinner. He died for you. He died for me. Each one of us guilty and all deserving to perish, because the Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. And this is our hope, that if He died for one, He died for all. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 5, 7 through 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ, He died for us.
Amen.
Jesus, He died for sinners. And in doing so, God said to the world, I love you.
Amen.
Church, we have hope because we are all sinners. And in spite of that, Christ died for us each and every one. God gave His very best to show us His love. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, there is no greater hope than trusting in the love of God. Because while we were yet sinners implies that we were not always meant to be sinners. Jesus, He died to save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We were justified by His blood, and we are reconciled by His death. Through the atoning death of Jesus Christ, our sin is now pardoned, and we are now covered by His righteousness.
Amen.
And this is the source of our hope, that we have been saved from the wrath of God. We have been saved from hell and eternal damnation. We are reconciled by Christ humbled, and we are saved by Christ exalted. Reconciled by His death and saved by His life. You see, the death of Jesus Christ laid the foundation to satisfy the penalty of sin and to make us savable. But it is the living Jesus that perfects this work. He lives to make intercession on our behalf. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to think about this. Right now, in this very moment, Jesus is praying for you. when our accuser, Satan, goes to the throne room of God and accuses us and says, look at your servant. Look at this sin. By your own law, they're condemned. But our advocate, our Savior, Jesus, he stands up and he looks at the Father and says, paid in full. Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 reminds us, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And because Jesus is both our Savior and intercessor, our response should be one of deep joy and gratitude, a joy that Paul, he captures so well in this next verse of Romans chapter 5, verse 11, says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
Amen.
Somebody get excited. We have joy in God, amen? We are to rejoice in his presence this morning. For not only are we saved from his wrath, but we now find comfort in his love in all this through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus, he is our hope. And it is this hope that gives us the ability to overcome trials and tribulations. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The condition to receive heavenly inheritance is that we suffer. But not just suffer, but suffer with Christ. And since the adoption into the family of God is a priceless privilege, it involves a process of discipline. For you see, as we become more Christ-like, we can both share in both his sufferings and in his glory. We can also share in his heartache and his heritage, as well as his cross and his crown. But then Paul, he says, it is all worth it in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we have the promise that Christ's glory shall be imparted to us. And it is our Christian hope that proves what we believe in. It proves that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That we believe that he can and will cover us with his love. We believe that this Christian hope receives his salvation and firmly grounds us in God's love. This hope believes that the blood of Christ has now put us right with God. We believe that when we were yet his enemies, the death of his Son reconciled us back to him. And now that we are made right with God, it is the name and the only name of Jesus that will save us. Amen?
Amen?
So let me ask you this. Are you living like you truly believe that there's nothing else that can save you except Jesus? Or are you still putting your hope in money, government, people, and even your own ability? So what is the source of our hope? Where our hope doesn't come because a virgin conceived in the town of Nazareth. Our hope doesn't come because a baby was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Our hope doesn't come because Jesus healed the sick and fed the multitudes. Our hope doesn't come because Jesus died on an old rugged cross. Our hope comes because on that first Easter morning, the angel said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" We have hope today because Jesus Christ is alive. Amen?
Amen?
We can overcome trials and tribulations today because he is alive and he shall live forevermore. Oh, hallelujah!
Amen.
And we know there's coming a day when our hope will be rewarded when we see Jesus with our own eyes. And on that day we will suffer no more. On that day we shall be glorified and be just like Him. That is the hope that we have today. You see, my greatest heart's desire is to see Jesus face to face. And I have a hope that no person, situation, or anything on earth can extinguish. Amen? Amen. Because of this incredible promise that we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Church, nothing will keep us from seeing Jesus in glory except for ourselves.
Amen.
Having hope in Jesus means that we expect Him to do all the things that He has promised, because He is our only hope of salvation. He paid the punishment that we deserve, and He can heal our wounds, and He provides peace and comfort no matter what you're going through today. Our hope is centered in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God's promised Savior. He is the fulfillment of the promises of God and the dear desire of every nation. Hope in Jesus enables us to persevere with our faithful our Savior, even when everything else around us is in tumult. Church, we have to live like our hope is alive, because our hope is alive. Let your conversations, your attitudes, and even your trials reflect the fact that you know that your Redeemer lives. As Job chapter 19, verse 25 says, for I know my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. So no matter what comes our way, the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Amen? If Jesus Christ lives, then we have to let that truth change everything about how we live. Let it transform our priorities, our relationships, and the way that we face each and every day. Don't let your hope be passive or hidden away like it's a secret treasure. Let it shine brightly in a world who is desperate for light and peace. Be bold in your faith, unwavering in your trust, and compassionate in your love. I challenge each of you to be a living testimony of hope. To those who are weary, to those who are searching, and to those who have lost their ways. Stand firm in the truth that our Redeemer lives. Walk forward with confidence, knowing that no hardship or trial can separate you from the love of Christ. And above all, proclaim this hope boldly so that others may find life, peace, and salvation in Jesus. Live like your hope is alive, because it truly is. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is alive today, sitting at Your right hand. And that because You sent Your Son to this earth to die on the cross as a payment for our sins, that He was risen 3 days later, that we have hope. Our Redeemer lives, so we have hope. Father, let us live that testimony. Let people see the light of Christ in us. Make people in our sphere of influence curious and ask the question, what makes you different? Heavenly Father, it's my prayer this morning that today, if there's someone here who doesn't know your Son as personal as their personal Savior, that today would be that day. That they would surrender, to confess their sins, proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they might be adopted as one of your children. Father, today, if any of us find ourselves convicted because we haven't lived like our hope is alive, let us reconfirm our life. Let us rededicate ourselves once again to you. And so, Father, we ask for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. At this time, the altar is open. If you have never made a profession of faith, let today be that day. If you find yourself asking questions whether or not you truly are saved, do not leave the house of God before you're sure. If you have a burden to lay down at the altar, do so. And if you need prayer, I'm here to pray for you. But let us stand as we sing.
Just 1 second, Diana. Yeah, we didn't practice this, so you're on the hook here.
I'm on the hook.
Guys, gals, family, we're going to sing two more songs. First one is I Surrender All. And the next one is Family of God. We are a family here. So I got to tell you this story because I've heard so many times, and your message today has reminded me that we have hope. Every single itty-bitty one of us has hope. And I've heard so many excuses. I can't because. We have hope in Jesus Christ. So I got to tell you a story. And I hope my wife forgives me. About 5 years ago, we decided it was our duty to reach out to people. It's not our duty to save people. It's our duty as Christians to plant the seeds. So my lovely wife figured a way. And she's an introvert, people. She's an introvert. So she found a way that she could reach out to people. Every time we go out to eat and we get our receipt, she writes a little note to our server. And it's always, God bless you. Have a blessed day. We're very proud of you. You did a great job. Have a blessed day. God bless you. Her faith is shining every time we eat a meal. So my challenge to you today is if you have hope in Jesus, you come up front here and pray with Pastor. If you can't, stay where you're at and we'll pray with you afterwards. But if you don't have anything in your life that you need hope for, just stay seated. Don't worry about it. If your life is perfect, don't worry about it. But God calls us to move over and over again. He calls us to move. He calls us to surrender our lives to Him and do His will. He's calling us to move. I need help too. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.